This is an iHeart podcast.
The narrative, it's important, and we keep losing it. We'll talk about that. We have a huge primary coming up in Arizona. We'll talk to Carrie Lake about that. A great panel, a great light in the mood. It's Monday on I'm Right. What if I got a text message right now? Right now. Text message from the wife. I need you to come home. I've just started the show. Why does she need me to come home? That's important, right? Do I trust that the wife actually needs me to come home? Because she knows I'm sitting here talking to you on I'm Right. She knows that. She wouldn't just send that. Is somebody hurt? Is the house on fire? Is there some kind of emergency? Is someone breaking in? Do you just miss me? What's the deal? How will I determine whether or not I continue this show or whether I throw my phone down, tear out my earpiece, and go running for home? Well, I guess I'd have to drive, but still, how will I determine that? It's all based on trust. What level of trust do I have in the person who sent me that to know, to be honest with me? Does she need me home or does she want me home? Who can you trust? Who can't you trust? I get a text from the wife saying, I need you to come home now. Well, I'll probably come home now because I trust her. I get a text from my mechanic saying, I need you to bring your car in. We need to do major repairs. He kind of shafted me last time. I don't think I'll be doing that. You see, trust. You and me, we have to make huge adjustments now in how we think. I'm right there with you, okay? I'm right there with you, so just walk through this with me. Your parents, doesn't matter how old you are, your parents lived in a different America than the one we lived in. Now, I'm not naive. I know there's always been lies and corruption in every part, every society. That's just the nature of having a society, right? I'm not naive that there used to be lies and corruption. But your parents lived in an era, no matter how old you are, where you could turn on the news at night, and of course there would be bias. There's always been that liberal bias in the news, but not outright lies. Okay, you're getting a slanted view of things. Not outright lies. Your parents lived in a world where you could walk into your doctor's office and trust your doctor. Even if he happened to mess something up, there was no bias there. He wasn't being manipulated by big pharma or insurance companies or some dog meat academic institution he came from. You trust your doctor. It's your doctor, right? Nice guy, white lab coat. He's got the weird silver thingy hanging around his neck. You do not live in that country anymore, and you're going to have to adjust how you think. I do not live in that country anymore. I am going to have to make adjustments. I'm going to have to adjust how I think. We are being fed lies now at an unprecedented level in the United States of America. Frankly, this is one of those things that has not happened that often throughout history. Any nation this drowning in lies. When you get to a point as a nation where you are this drowning in lies, the people themselves have to make mental adjustments. The great Tom Clancy once said, the control of information is something the elite always does, particularly in despotic form of government. Information, knowledge is power. If you control information, you can control the people. What am I talking about here? Here's a great example. We're not gonna let this one go. The Hunter Biden laptop thing. You remember that, right? That's not a small deal. The son of the then would-be president of the United States, wannabe president, Joe Biden, the son has a laptop with crimes on it. Many, many, many crimes. Emails, videotape, photographs. We have, this is all verified stuff. This isn't whispers from a guy and whispers from a guy and whispers from a guy. We have verifiable stuff. Immediately, when this was discovered and reported by the New York Post, immediately the system itself locked shields and lied to you about it. Censored it. Covered it up, Remember, it went way beyond social media banning any linking to the article. 51 former major intelligence operatives, CIA people, came out and said this has all the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. The media, endlessly, Russian disinformation. This is Russian disinformation. They censored it and they lied to you about it, and it changed the election. Remember, we have the exit polls that show enough people would have flipped their vote if they'd known about it. Donald Trump would still be in his second term. So not only do we have a system drowning in lies, these lies have consequences. Right now, we're in a recession. That's not news to you. I know it's not news to you because I know you feel it. I feel it. I know you do. I know you feel it when you fill up your car. I know you feel it when you go to the grocery store. I know you feel it all around you. It's evident everywhere. Everyone knows we're in a recession by the official definition that has always been recognized. We are in the recession. And yet, once again, the regime, the system is locking shields and telling you it's fine.
Well, we're certainly in a transition and we are seeing slowing as we all would have expected. But I think if you look at the full data and the type of data that NDER looks at, virtually nothing signals that this period in the second quarter is recessionary.
President Biden has said we've entered a new phase in our recovery, focused on achieving steady, stable growth without sacrificing the gains of the last 18 months.
Look at it more broadly at the data, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing is that we are in a transition.
It doesn't seem that the U.S. economy is in recession right now.
That doesn't sound like a recession to me. Thank you very much.
The lies. You have to make adjustments now and accept you're being lied to at all times from every angle. And honestly, the Biden administration has made this sickness we have of lying, they've made it so much worse. Of course, they're passing the mini Build Back Better Act, the mini Green New Deal. That's what the Inflation Reduction Act, speaking of lies, that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is. They even have their new clown boy, Joe Manchin, all over TV lying about this thing.
John, I didn't change my mind. I've never changed at all. This is fighting inflation. This is all about the absolute horrible position that people are in now because of the inflation cost. Whether it be gasoline, whether it be food pricing, whether it be energy pricing, and it's around energy mostly, it's driving these high inflation. This is going to take care of that because this is aggressively producing more energy to get more supply to get the prices down. That's what we're doing. But we didn't raise taxes, John.
Didn't raise taxes. Joe Biden's out there saying the exact same thing. Hey, anyone less than $400,000 a year in income, they're not going to have their taxes raised.
It's a big deal. I'll also, for the first time in a long time, began to restore fairness to the tax code, began to restore fairness by making the largest corporate nations and the largest corporations in America pay their fair share without any new taxes on people making under $400,000 a year.
The largest corporations. But anyway, again, that's a lie. The Joint Committee on Taxation says the bill would increase taxes on millions of Americans, and yet they lied about it. Not only that, they're raising taxes on millions of Americans during a recession, virtually guaranteeing a deepening of the recession. So during a recession, during inflation, they're spending hundreds of billions of dollars and raising your taxes, which is an unbelievably big deal, right? Wouldn't you agree? Except you won't know, or at least the normal person won't know, because everything I just told you is once again being censored. A top guy came out, top U.S. economist, went out and posted on Facebook, I dug into this whole thing, and this raises taxes. What happened from there? Did people start digging into it, figuring it out? Nope. Facebook immediately began fact-checking him and censoring him for these things. We are at a time now where we are drowning in lies, drowning in them. I know why you watch The First, because we get to say whatever we want here on The First and we get to bring you the truth. Do you have any idea how much we have been censored here on The First? No, I'm not doing a woe is me thing. I don't care. The network's doing great, but you have any idea how often we've been censored? Granted, lots of that's been my fault. Companies like YouTube, when I sit here and I bring you facts, honest information about, oh, I don't know, vaccines, if we're still calling it that, masking, things like that, you understand that we have been under attack. Anyone who speaks the truth now is under attack because we have an entire nation built on lies. You understand? We now know this because of America First Legal. I want to make sure I give them credit. Because of America First Legal, we now know that the Center for Disease Control worked with big tech companies like Google to try to censor out information they didn't want. You know, the Center for Disease Control, who always told you, well, lots of the things Joe Biden is telling you right here about the vaccine.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Not gonna get COVID if we have these. That's good news, except, hold on. Yep, Joe Biden just got COVID for the second time. The CDC, if you, back when Joe Biden was saying that, if you, me, anybody, had stepped up and said, you're still going to get COVID even if you have the vaccine, that would be a factually correct statement. Inarguable now. You get the vaccine, still going to get COVID, still going to spread COVID. We know that now. If you had said that back when Joe Biden was saying that, the Center for Disease Control would have worked with Google to make sure no one could hear the truth. That's a broken country. And that's the adjustment you have to make and the adjustment I have to make. We can't trust what we see anymore. We must think and find out for ourselves. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. We got Congressman Dan Bishop tonight. We have a great panel coming up next. We're going to discuss all this. And something else may make you uncomfortable. I mentioned the recession. I mentioned how much worse it's going to get now that this bill is going to pass. You can't raise taxes on people during a recession, and you definitely can't blow hundreds of billions of dollars during inflation. Who's been telling you to go get some gold from Oxford Gold Group? How long have I been telling you this? Get gold, please. I don't know what's going to happen to the value of the dollar, but I think we can all assume, right? Now, don't censor me, but let's see. We're already under inflationary pressure, and they're passing a gigantic bill through Congress. Do you think you might need some precious metals in your hands? Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call, all right? 833-995-GOLD. Get gold delivered to your front door. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Are we in a recession, and does the term matter?
No, we aren't, and no, it doesn't. I mean, the...
one sentence, that was it, huh?
Yeah, that was it.
No worries, we're not in a recession. Paul Krugman and that baked potato say we're fine. Joining me now, Curtis Houck, of course, of the Great Media Research Center, and Colin Medine, Breitbart News tech editor. All right, Curtis, for you. Obviously, they're lying. Everyone knows they're lying. They've been lying the whole time. They changed the definition. Everyone knows all this. Definitely you two do. Is it working, though? Is that kind of control of the narrative, is it effective anymore?
Well, Jesse, if Stephen Colbert is starting to ask questions, if his spin is sufficient, he's looking at CNN and MSNBC clips as he did last Thursday and kind of shrug his shoulders a little bit. I think that's not a good sign for you when your chief spin officer in late night is unsure about what's going on here. I mean, just to be clear, along with this BlackRock loser here, Brian Deese, you have on screen right now, You know, the White House has outsourced its decision-making to the National Bureau for Economic Research, which we found last week at Newsbusters that George Soros' Open Society has given over $1.5 million to its Project Syndicate, which also employs this guy who wrote the column that the White House is now saying is what an actual recession is, which is, you know, broad slowdown of economic growth defined across multiple sectors of the economy. Like, what does that even mean? That's so esoteric that you could take it to mean anything, and that's exactly the point. Just today, Karine Jean-Pierre at the White House press briefing was touting the price of oil dropping and gas prices continuing to fall, again neglecting the fact that it's still up well over a dollar from last year.
All right. Breitbart, as you guys often do, are all over the big tech stuff. Wikipedia did something last week. Now, everyone knows what Wikipedia is. For those who don't, it's an online encyclopedia. Anyone can edit it. Be a little careful with what you find on there. But what did Wikipedia do last week?
Well, it's interesting, Jesse, because Wikipedia touts itself as being this huge online encyclopedia where experts can go in and correct misinformation and things like that. But actually, it's just the political cesspool. So what happened on Wikipedia is that, you know, an edit war broke out. 70 different edits were made to the entry in just over a day with the intention of obscuring the traditional definition of a recession, backing up the White House, muddling the definition, and as Curtis just said, you know, bringing in that source of data that is not how we have ever defined recessions. But the idea is to give people a link that they can point to and say, look, Wikipedia says this, and Wikipedia is the online encyclopedia. The result of that, as we typically see with big tech, is experts who really know what they're talking about being censored on the back of that definition. So just recently, matter of fact, Breitbart Tech published today, a top economist, a guy who really knows what he's doing, named Philip Magnus, was censored by Facebook. They labeled him as misinformation for saying we're in a recession. And he fired back, calling him a Orwellian hellscape, because that's what it is. You know, you change the definition of recession and then call the experts misinformation for saying we're in a recession.
Curtis, Hunter Biden, there's something interesting happening out there. What, you know what? I'll play you this CNN clip first, and then I'll give you my theory, and you can tell me if I'm an idiot.
The emails posted by a right-wing operative on the internet have long been used as a political weapon against President Joe Biden. But it's his son, Hunter, who's facing potential federal charges. As CNN first reported, prosecutors in Delaware are narrowing in on potential tax violations in their investigation of Hunter Biden. These emails, forensically authenticated for CNN, reveal Hunter Biden was repeatedly warned about deep debts and years of back taxes. This, despite having a lavish income that included as much as $50,000 a month for sitting on the board of Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company. A 2019 spreadsheet sent to Biden from his assistant details more than $500,000 in bills due or past due, including hundreds of thousands in taxes over several years.
He was struggling under a massive drug addiction, and that's heartbreaking and painful.
I love the as first reported by CNN. That might be my favorite part. But Curtis, okay, that actually looked like real reporting. Now, that's not CNN style. I say this Hunter Biden reporting we're getting now is an effort to run Joe Biden out of the White House after the midterms. I think they're done with him. That's why we finally get Hunter Biden reporting, and they're going to use it to shuttle old Joe out the back door.
You're exactly right, Jesse. Roll credits of your show title. I mean, that's really the whole point. You know, that and the age. So there's really a two-pronged approach that they're going with right now. If you're the news media and the left, but I repeat myself, go after him on his age, what we all have been saying for years and what we all can see with our two eyes and our ears. And then the second part is about Hunter Biden. You know, mention his taxes. Well, also, they still are friendly to Hunter and want us to somehow feel bad for Hunter Biden somehow, that he made all of this money. And notice in that report, they didn't really go into detail about, well, if he made all this money and he was in debt, well, what did he spend all that money on? course, they're not going to go that far, but they're still willing to throw him overboard. But like usual, they just want us to feel bad for the Bidens, so they're going to usher them out to pasture here.
Yeah, poor Hunter and his crack addiction. All right, Colin, Hunter's deeply involved in China. Everyone knows that now. CNN told us so. It's authenticated now. Well, TikTok is also involved in China. And, man, doesn't matter how much I protest, I have friends, family members. Hey, check out this TikTok video. Hey, look at my new TikTok video. Americans do not understand how truly poisonous this thing is with its ties to China. Colin, would you please tell them? Because I can't tell them anymore.
Well, Jesse, you're exactly right. As a parent of two teenagers, it's almost impossible to get people off TikTok right now. And that's really the problem, because there's two major issues with TikTok. First of all, it's sending every scrap of data you possibly create to communist China to be used for purposes we don't quite know. Every time they've claimed that they don't send data to China, it's been proven to be a lie, including by whistleblowers inside the company. So, you know, you might as well be sending your entire life to communist China if you're using TikTok. Secondly, the algorithms are controlled by China, and they're using those algorithms to push poison into, you know, our kids' screens. They're using these algorithms to push dangerous trends and fads and crime, basically, on teenagers. Matter of fact, there's one lawsuit against TikTok right now claiming that they push violent and crime-based videos on Black and other minority kids more than white kids, which, you know, we would never allow an American company to do that, but we let the communist Chinese do it with no trouble, apparently.
Curtis, why do we allow this? We allow these people to lobby, don't we? I mean, you highlighted a piece, Washington Examiner. We allow these people to lobby here.
Yeah, it's the swamp at its worst. You know, that piece by Jerry Dunleavy of the Washington Examiner you have on screen there, it shows how their senators, members of Congress, you know, both parties, staffers from Kevin McCarthy's office, Nancy Pelosi's office, you name it, people from the left and the right, supposed conservatives, supposed liberals, all selling out America in favor of communist China. Even a conservative CNN political commentator he's paid to lobby for this, and people receive all this money, and it's a complete shame. And it's a great example of how they're not putting America first, and that's why Trump's mantra and, you know, slogan has had such great success, because we've seen how Washington doesn't put America first, and they're putting our biggest enemy first instead.
Curtis, Colin, thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse.
Believe it or not, all that isn't even the most dangerous thing happening in the country. The most dangerous thing happening in the country is happening within the doors of the FBI. Congressman Dan Bishop, one of the truly great ones we have out there right now, he's apparently taking this seriously by the grace of God. We're going to have the congressman on next, and he's going to tell us what he heard, what's he think, what can we do about it. Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Your health. We talked about the lies at the beginning of the show, right? How all the institutions lie to us all the time. It includes our medical institutions. I know that hurts. I mean, I talked to you about the doctor earlier, but it does. It hurts. You have to take more ownership of your health than you ever have before, more than your parents did. You do. Eden Pure Thunderstorm is part of that. Eden Pure Thunderstorm prevents that trip from the doctor from happening because it's killing viruses and mold in your air. You'll never know it, but you'll look, and in a couple years, you'll have gone to the doctor a whole lot less than you did before. I know, because we're experiencing it in my house. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use the code Jesse. What that gets you? That gets you a 3-pack for $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, 3-pack for under $200 plus free shipping.
In one of the DOJ's highest profile domestic terrorism cases, a federal jury appears to have found that the FBI entrapped people in a matter involved in an alleged plot to kidnap the governor of Michigan. The jury acquitted two defendants and hung on two others. You're familiar with that case, sir?
Yes, sir, I am familiar with that particular prosecution.
The FBI appears to have contrived the plot used its informants to draw people into the plot, and provided logistical and financial support to what was, in effect, an FBI operation. And the board behind me details just some of the resources that were devoted to the op. The alleged Whitmer plot was announced October 7, 2020, within a month before the U.S. presidential election. How come that timing for the FBI's announcement of this plot?
That's an ongoing case. I'm not going to comment on it. I can tell you that in every case, we follow the facts and the evidence and the law, and we do so without regard to politics or ideology.
Sure they do. Joining me now, the great congressman from the great state of North Carolina, Dan Bishop. Congressman, we obviously could only play a little bit of that long exchange. Did you ever get an answer? And I ask because every time I see one of the few decent people we have in Congress actually asking these tough questions, all I hear from FBI people and their assistant attorney general is no comment, no comment, can't comment on an ongoing investigation, no comment, no comment. Do these people ever have to actually answer questions?
You know, I'm waiting to find out myself, Jesse. I've been there 3 years and in the minority the whole time. I intend to get answers if we've got gavels and subpoena power, and I think with Jim Jordan chairing that committee, we're likely to get answers. But no, it's an amazing experience. You sit there on that big dais, you got a bunch of people, you get 5 minutes to explain the issue and grill them, and every one of his answers was a non-answer. It tells you a lot, but that's all we get right now. And boy, I'm ready to get more.
Good. I hope you do. I'm confident you will. So just I want to sum this up again, because we've mentioned it on the show before, but you obviously have more knowledge of it than I do. So the FBI, they planned the assassination and kidnapping of the Michigan Governor Whitmer. They had their informants essentially round up a crew of people to do it. They funded the entire thing, including fake training, if I remember correctly. And they did all this a month before the election. Do I have that about right?
That's when the big reveal was about 1 month before the election. The whole opposite, 6 months. Yeah, you got it exactly right. The way I think of it, Jesse, is the people they ultimately brought in and charged are like, reminds me of the Chris Farley act. They were just about living in a van down by the river. But these guys were, the FBI organized this op. You know, you sort of think if the FBI, sure, you want the FBI to infiltrate drug sales and be a participant in transactions that are illicit in order to catch the bad guys. But you don't expect the FBI to create something. They created it. They created the militia. They created the plot against Whitmer. They paid for the booze on the militia training trip out of state for these people. They took them to a surveillance trip to the governor's cabin, and they had four of the people on scene were FBI. They were informants or undercover agents. And so, that's what we need to know. Is this what they're counterterrorism? If this is, we hear nothing more often than the fact that domestic violent extremists are the most lethal threat to the homeland. And yet what I'm seeing is that they're having to concoct schemes to build up ops in order to draw ne'er-do-wells in and then charge them. That is not the way I think we expect the FBI to operate. At least I don't.
Congressman, what I'm seeing, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when I think about the Trump election, when I think about this fiasco, the Hunter Biden cover-up, which we'll get to in a second, on and on and on we could go here. What I'm seeing is an ongoing effort from the administrative state to make the political opponents of Democrats into enemies of the state so they can use the powers of the government against them. Now, I don't want to overstate, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if that's really what's happening, that's a pretty dangerous situation. In fact, that's the most dangerous situation in the country.
Exactly, Jesse. And I would say, I don't think you are putting words in my mouth. I mean, I'm reserving judgment until I have an opportunity to give them finally a chance to give a real answer. But I think, you know, one reason this thing kind of went viral, even though, frankly, Jesse, I didn't do a very good job in the questioning, given the limitation of time and the amount of detail that I wanted to put out in front of the public, but it drew a tremendous response out on, you know, social media. And I think the reason is the people are really fed up with this. They have a strong sense that there's a dual standard of justice, that the FBI and the Department of Justice have been politicized. They recognize That's dangerous to a free state. You can't survive having prosecutorial authority turned into a political weapon. And we've seen it so much since the Russia hoax. Before then, people can cite numerous instances. That has to stop, or the FBI has to be, and the DOJ have to be stripped of resources, one way or the other.
Okay, what that brings me perfectly to what can we do. I know we can't do anything right now. I'm not naive. We're in the minority, don't have the presidency, don't have the House, don't have the Senate. Let's say in a perfect world, we get the House and Senate back and the presidency by 2025. What can we do? What can be done? Surely Congress and the presidency have the power to do something significant more than just hearings. I'm not dismissing them. It's important to have this information public, but hearings clearly aren't enough. They're just going to no comment their way right back to the FBI.
Well, you're absolutely right. People out there in the country are greatly frustrated. I see it in comments that come our way. Do something about it. Most people understand we don't have the power now. Congress has the power of the purse. So, again, now, Jesse, what it depends on is leadership and Republicans across the conference supporting us when we say that FISA has to be reformed, that the money, the appropriations for the Department of Justice need to be held up until they answer our questions. And ultimately, there are bigger reforms. I'm fond of the idea that DOJ needs to be broken up and split and sent across the country. I think the FBI ought to be agents attached to U.S. Attorney's offices in districts around the country. I don't think we ought to have a Washington field office where all these mysteries seem to come to roost. And then finally, we've got to have the White House. And when there's a White House in Republican control, the president and his appointees need to be bold enough not to be overawed by the Justice Department. It is a government agency. It needs to function neutrally and fairly, and changes need to be made to make sure that the permanent Washington is brought to heel and serves the people rather than commanding them.
Congressman, finally switching gears here, Nancy Pelosi heading to Taiwan, China issuing some not so subtle threats about the whole thing. Now, obviously, I'm not a big fan of Grandma Vodka, but I don't like another country threatening our Speaker of the House, no matter how much I like them or not. This whole situation reeks to me. What do you make of all this?
Well, to the point you made, Jesse, and I agree, when a Speaker of the House of Representatives says she's going to make a visit to Taiwan and, you know, intermediaries of China essentially threaten to shoot down her plane, or words to that effect, you know, that kind of suggestion, there's no choice but to go to Taiwan. She needs to go to Taiwan. But the real point is to remember back a year and a half ago, a year ago, when we saw devastating weakness demonstrated and poor judgment demonstrated the Biden administration in Afghanistan, resulting in the death of soldiers. That kind of weakness telegraphs to what we're seeing today. It produces this kind of brinksmanship environment that we should not have. If we were persistently strong, capable, and competent, the Chinese would not ever utter something like that.
Well, funny how this stuff never used to happen. Congressman, thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jesse. Good to be with you.
All right. We have someone coming up next, has a primary tomorrow, so we'll check in, see how that goes. Before we get to that, let's talk about your health insurance. Putting your money where your morals are. Talk about that all the time, right? Putting your money where your morals are. Putting your money where your morals are. Most people don't consider health insurance as being part of that, though, right? Oh, I have this company or that company. You have an option for that right in front of you with OneShare Health. OneShare Health is a faith-based insurance company. Their values are your values. They care so much, 5% of your monthly, every single month, goes to veterans struggling with PTSD. Camp Hope, PTSD Foundation, those types of things. How about that for those being your values? Whatever you need, vision, dental, 24/7 telehealth, all of it's right there. Great options, great prices. Go to my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly, all right? That gets you $75 off. my.onesharehealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Oh. But I will say that I think that's going to be one of the great things that I've done, endorsing a woman and helping her get elected. And I think she'll go down as the greatest governor in the country.
Whew. That's some high praise there from the big man. Joining me now, Carrie Lake has a fairly important day coming up tomorrow. It's a primary day in Arizona, running for governor. We are rooting hard for her on this show. All right, Carrie, before we get into all the other stuff and your opponents and the president and the border and all the other things, what goes through your mind the day before the primary? Obviously, I don't want people to sit home, so I don't want to say how favored you are. I want people to go vote, but you got to be nervous, right?
I'm not nervous. I feel like we've worked so hard. We've connected with so many Arizonans. I guess if I'm nervous about anything, it's just the level of cheating that they will do. But we've got eyeballs out there, and we have our ears to the ground and people watching and attorneys. So I'm prepared for that as well. But I have complete confidence in the people of Arizona that they'll do the right thing, that they realize the critical moment we're at. We're either going to go back to the past where we had the kind of McCain machine running the show, or we're going full steam ahead into the future, America first policies, and we're going to have our brightest days ahead. So I have faith in the people of this great state.
Carrie, I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to ask you about it. People who I trust have told me your organization is as good as they've seen in the country about trying to stay on top of the cheating or potential cheating out there. We have a bunch of people running for office who watch this show. Can you give people maybe some insight on things they need to be doing to make sure they don't get screwed over, for lack of a better way to put it?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of our good legislation that would have shored up our elections past this last session. We had a few rhinos in there who just were roadblocks to any meaningful election reform to make sure we have honest elections. And so we don't have fully honest elections. And that, what I tell people, is that means we have to get out and vote like our lives depend on it. We got to win by a mile in order to eke out a one-inch win. And we're going to do that. And that's why it's so great to have a candidate and a campaign such as what we have, which is a movement. And we have a lot of people who are going to go out and vote. And we will win. And then we will get into office and we will shore up our election laws. We got to get out and vote. We can vote today. We have early voting, Jesse. We pretty much vote for a month here between mail-in voting and early voting. So go out and vote today. No reason to wait until tomorrow in Arizona. If you pass a voting center, just, when you get a few minutes, jump in there and vote. Get it done today, get it out of the way, or go tomorrow and stand in line and do not get out of line. Vote and don't leave until you've cast your vote.
Carrie, you used to be a Democrat. What changed you?
Well, the truth of the matter is I've been registered Republican since I was 18, but for 4 years I did register as a Democrat, and for 2 years as an independent. I had two little babies on either hip, and I was looking at that Iraq war going, which one of these guys is going to end it? And I'd covered John McCain as a journalist, and I knew it wasn't going to be him. So I took a chance with a Democrat, and that didn't work out so well. But we're at a great point, I think, in this country's history where people are waking up to the lies and dead-end policies of the Democrats. And so I think that is a plus for me, especially as we're bringing people over from the Democrat Party who are waking up and saying, you know what, these policies really don't work best for our state, for our families, for our education, and I'm ready to actually vote a different way. 10 million people, Jesse, crossed over as Obama voters and brought us President Donald J. Trump. And I think this time around, the Biden supporters are going to cross over and become conservatives and vote for the Republican ticket.
People that are talking to you, what do they say is their biggest issue right now? We're all in some form of bubble that we create for ourselves. Is it economy? Is it border? Is it the culture war stuff? What's the number one thing you hear?
So many issues, and they're all so important. That's why I always go back to the election, because stolen, corrupt elections have consequences. We wouldn't have a wide open border that's not secure, where the cartels are in control and fentanyl's pouring across, if we would have had honest elections. We wouldn't have sky high inflation where we can't afford gasoline and groceries if we had honest elections. We wouldn't have a fentanyl crisis if we had honest elections. And we would have a better handle on this woke curriculum if we had honest elections. So we have a lot of issues, and it depends who you ask. Most people that I talk to, in their top three is restoring honest elections.
Carrie Lake, good luck tomorrow. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Arizona, get out and vote and take a friend and make them vote as well.
Speaking of the culture war stuff, putting your money where your morals are is something we talk about a lot. Talk about a lot, right? I am trying to be better about it. I'm trying to be a lot better than I've been. I've made mistakes. Look, I've taken my family to Disney World. It was like 5 years ago, but still, you name a mistake, I've made it. I want to be better. But not just about the big things. It's not just about not going to Disney World, right? Locally, where are you spending your money? You know, if you download Public SQ, it'll tell you which business in your area supports your values. Whatever you're going out to buy, a cup of coffee, Public SQ. Go download Public SQ in the App Store. Everyone tells me, Jesse, I wish we had a list. I wish there was a list. I want to know where I should buy. There is a list. Public SQ did it for us. Public SQ, go download now. We'll be back. You know it's National Sandwich Month? I'm going to tell you, well, I'll tell you what, give me a second. I'm going to build you the greatest sandwich ever. Not even talking about my burgers. I'm going to build you the greatest sandwich ever in a minute. Before we get to that, let's talk about your home. If you own a home, it's a good thing, right? Good. Good for you. It's also your biggest financial vulnerability by a mile because of this freaking home title theft. I hate it so much. I'll never forget the day where I opened up my email and there's my home title with my signature on it and my wife's signature on it, as if we'd taken a loan out against our home. And the signatures looked real. That was the most amazing part. I have no idea. And then I dig into it, and this is what I found out. These cyber thieves, they go hack into your home title and forge signatures and take loans out against your home that you have to take back. It takes them less than 10 minutes. I looked at all this, and because I didn't understand, I thought, wow, that must have taken a long time. Less than 10 minutes. That's how easy your home title is to take. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up. They'll detect any tampering and shut it down immediately. HomeTitleLock.com. Now, National Sandwich Month. A lot of people have heard of an Italian sub. A lot of people know about a hot Italian sub. But I'm here to explain to you how to build the perfect hot Italian sub. And let me be clear about something. This is America, all right? This isn't some third world dump. We eat hot sandwiches here. Unless it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, there's no need to eat a cold sandwich. Once you have been presented with the technology to make a hot, melty, delicious sandwich, you should never eat a cold sandwich again unless you're stuck out camping or something like that. What are you doing? You know what? No one has ever bitten into a hot, melty sandwich and said to themselves, ooh, I wish this was cold. I wish this cheese wasn't melty. It's never once happened to our Italian sub. Don't shortchange yourself on the bun. Just like the burgers, the bun is everything. You need a good bun, good Italian roll will be fine. Then you need ham, salami, capicola, pepperoni. Four meats in the proper proportion. Don't do what these restaurants do and make it all ham. Ham is by far the most inferior of those four meats. Put a layer of ham on there, that's fine. But then make sure you're generous with all the other meats, most definitely the capicola. The capicola is really the star of the show. All right, you got all that laid out? Then you put oil and vinegar on it, little oregano on top, mustard and mayonnaise on it, onions on it, and then, no lettuce and tomato, by the way. Then you toast it until it's all hot and melty. But wait, you're not done. When you pull it out, banana peppers. Take some banana peppers, put the cool banana peppers on your hot sandwich, fold it up, wrap it up in tin foil for 5 minutes. Let all those flavors get to know each other. Unwrap it, enjoy. Greatest sandwich ever. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
This is an iHeart podcast.